What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Show, and I'm your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite. They also call me Tariq Nasheed. Some people say, hey, that's King Flex. I'll take that. But I'm here, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm ready to chop up some real good game. Now, today's show, we're going to talk about the choosy Susie mentality. And I'm going to explain what that means, and I'm going to talk about the correlation to other entities that has. So we're going to get real deep into some game. But what we're going to do right now is take a real quick, and I mean real quick, brief commercial break right here on the Tariq Elite Show. So everybody, you do not go nowhere. We will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. The new album by my man, Mr. Biweekly, it's called Mr. Biweekly Volume 1. It's available right now on iTunes, Google Play Store, and Amazon for instant download. It's also available on Spotify and all the other streaming websites. Google Mr. Biweekly and follow him on Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud right now. And get the new mixtape called Mr. Biweekly Volume 2. That's going to be available this summer, 2014. Check out the brand new book. It's called Marginalizing White Supremacy by author Stuart Knight. Now, this book discusses the necessity of black people in America and abroad to get a cohesive cultural identity for the purpose of personal and collective advancement. You can get the book right now at Amazon.com, and you can get the book right now at Lulu.com. And also check out Stuart's book called Poetic Visions. That's also at Amazon.com as well. So check out the book Marginalizing White Supremacy at Amazon.com right now.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You better recognize! We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Show. The Tariq Elite Radio Show, available at TariqRadio.com. Y'all spread the word. Let everybody know they can hear the show at TariqRadio.com. That's where they can tune in. And y'all follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite, TariqElite. Now, a lot of you guys, y'all been asking me to do another Mackish package for tax season, and we're going to do that. I've been procrastinating about it, but we're going to go ahead and do it because so many people are asking to do a Mackish package for the tax season. So this is what we're going to do. Starting this Friday, we're going to do like a 3 or 4 day Mackish package until next Tuesday, March 18th. And we're going to do a real quick Mackish package, and this is what the package is going to consist of. And again, this is going to be real quick because I'm in the middle of doing the Hidden Colors 3 editing and all that, so I can't put too much time in that, but a lot of people have been asking, so we're going to make it real quick. So the sale starts this Friday, which is March 14th. The sale ends Tuesday, March 18th, and this is what you're going to get in the tax refund Mackish package. You're going to get the white or black Liberty t-shirt, your choice. The white or black Cooperate t-shirt, your choice. The white or black Heraldry t-shirt, your choice. You're going to get the Tariq Elite International sunglasses. And you're going to get one DVD, the Relationship, Riches, and Race lecture DVD. I did live in Chicago, real good game in that. You're going to get all five of these items for the low price. And remember, the sunglasses are like 50 something bucks by themselves, okay? Keep that in mind. But you're getting all five of these items for the low price of $49, ladies and gentlemen. And that's a limited time only. I mean, only a few days, 49 bucks. You literally can't beat that deal. You can't beat that. And again, that's just showing my appreciation for the listeners, for showing love. So that sale is going to be a few days. It starts this Friday. You can get it at TariqRadio.com, or you can order it at MacLessons.com as well. But go to TariqRadio.com or TariqElite.com. We'll put the link up there too. But TariqRadio.com is where you can get the sale, and MacLessons.com is where you can get the sale. Got that? And don't forget to go get Hidden Colors 1 and 2 at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Now, I'm not going to take no calls today. I just want to chop up game with the family. And I want to talk about the choosy Susie mentality. And I want to talk about something that it correlates to. Now, for the choosy Susie mentality, for those who don't know what that means, now in the game, now we're going to talk about the pimp game tonight and the correlations. In the pimp game, there's a hoe And don't get offended by these words. I'm just using these words in the context of the street game, all right? So just follow me on this. Don't get offended by some of the terms. I'm just talking about them in a certain context. Now, a choosy Susie in the pimp game, there's different types of hoes. The choosy Susie in the pimp game is the most looked down upon hoe, one of the most looked down upon. This choosy Susie is almost like a $2 hoe. Just a real low budget hoe for the most part, but generally a choosy Susie, she might not always be run down, but just her mentality is warped. She don't really respect the game. She's not really bona fide. The choosy Susie is the kind of hoe that jumps from stable to stable. She goes from pimp to pimp. She changes pimps every few weeks, sometimes every month, but that's the kind of hoe that goes with a whole bunch of different pimps. And that's looked down upon in the pimp game, because again, I came up around a lot of guys in the game, and I got an understanding of how they go through things, and again, all of that stuff in the streets, that correlates into other aspects of life. But they look down upon the choosy Susie because she's bouncing around to so many different PIs, she's getting a lot of garbage from everybody. Her game is diluted. She's not getting no seasoned game. Hopping around from folk to folk, people to people, that's not really tightening your game up, especially if you're just staying for a couple of weeks or staying for a month or two and then you're moving on. Because if the game was really tight and thorough, a lot of times you wouldn't bounce. So a lot of times these choosy Susie hoes, they go for a lot of low level pimps. They'll choose up, stick around, get what's called new hoe attention. And that's really what they like. They like the attention of being the new hoe. You get with a pimp stable, and when you join the stable, a lot of times the pimp will shower you with a lot of attention, sometimes a lot of affection. The other girls will shower you with a lot of affection. The new pimp is buying you new clothes. The new pimp is getting your hair done. The new pimp is lacing you with his version of the game, which is new to you. And a lot of choosy Susie hoes like that. They like the newness of it. They like the new hoe attention. And then after a few weeks, when they've heard the same thing over and over again, it ain't new, and all of a sudden, they're not treated like the new hoe. They're just falling in line with the other girls. The choosy Susie gets restless, and then she goes and dips and chooses up on another pimp. And the choosy Susie, she's not a real big money maker. With all that moving around, you can't really focus and get no real money. That's why many of the choosy Susie hoes are kind of low budget. When you move around a lot, you can't really focus on your paper. That's in life. Bouncing here and there, you can't build any kind of equity anywhere. You can't stack your paper anywhere. You can't hone in and master a good hustle if that's what you want to do. You can't even do that if you're moving around a lot. You can't do that with anything you do. And that's the mentality of the choosy Susie, just bouncing from PI to PI. And a choosy Susie hoe, especially a low budget one, any dude, no matter how whack his game is, can get up on her because her self-esteem is low. And then with the choosy Susie, sometimes her game is so whack, the tricks even run game on her. They start fucking her for free and she starts giving freebies, so everybody starts running game on it. Nobody's really feeling sorry for the choosy Susie. Nobody feels sorry for a low-budget hoe. And the only time people are nice to the low-budget hoe is when they want to get some from her. And the thing is, a lot of these choosy Susies, they'll be the first to defend abuse. If you jump on them and somebody says, hey, you don't jump on that chick, they'll get mad at you for trying to check the person jumping on them. That's the mentality of a choosy Susie. They'll defend their abusers. They love abuse. And the thing is, when you try to save a hoe, they have the most disdain for you. I talked about that many times. The worst thing you can do is save a hoe who don't want to be saved, especially a low-budget hoe. If you step to a low-budget hoe and you ain't got no bullshit game and you ain't got no bullshit con or you ain't got no scam, and if you're just trying to talk to her straight up, they'll look at you with disrespect. Like, what, you must want some. What the fuck are you talking about? If you say, hey, why don't you carry yourself a little better? Why don't you get yourself together? Why don't you do something for yourself? Why don't you stop letting people use you? They'll look at you like, hey, nigga, fuck you, square punk motherfucker. They'll get on your case for trying to save them. That's the mentality of the choosy Susie Ho. And there's a lot of them out there in the game. Now, why am I talking about the choosy Susie Ho? What does this mean? Not only are there choosy Susie hoes out here in the game, the choosy Susie ho is a metaphor for the black community collectively. The black community carries itself like a $2 choosy Susie ho. Now, I know that stings a little bit. Some people might get offended by that. But that's exactly how the black community carries itself, like a choosy Susie, low-budget, $2 hoe. Collectively, that's how we get down. And we got to be very honest about some of the actions we have as a collective. Black folks will bounce from different groups, claiming different groups, trying to get love, trying to get that new hoe attention. And people only give us the new hoe attention when they want something. They'll bring us out when they're trying to get their agenda met. The Latino community will bring us out when they're trying to get our numbers. And black folks love getting pats on the heads from different groups. If a black person finds out that they're 1/5 Puerto Rican or something, if they got a Puerto Rican granddad, or a Puerto Rican great-grandma, that motherfucker will be in first in line at the Puerto Rican Day Parade or the Dominican Day Parade in some booty shorts out there in the streets getting it in, dancing his ass off. You know, that's niggas right there. That's niggas claiming everything but their own. You're a cheerleader for everybody else but yourself. And then you wonder why you do not get respect. See, the thing is, recently I posted something on my Facebook page and on my Twitter page as well. There was a situation with George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman was invited to these like gun shows, and one gun show canceled, then another gun show invited him there in Florida, and he was signing autographs at this gun show. And I posted the picture up on my Facebook page, and it caused a lot of conversation. It brought in a lot of conversation. And I posed a question about Zimmerman. I said, look, what are we black people? And I posed the question to black people. What are we going to do with this white supremacy the way it is? What should black people do? Let's discuss what should we do to replace white supremacy. With the system of justice, what should we do? What are some things we can do to replace white supremacy? Because that's an unjust system. The fact that a dude who killed a kid is out here giving autographs, that's unjust. That's bullshit. And I'm looking at black folks. What do we need to do to counter that? And you know what? What's interesting? The minute you start talking about challenging white supremacy, the coon train is never late from coming out the tracks. The coon train is never late. There's always black folks making excuses for white supremacy, so we always have that in. The coon train is never late. Let me play the coon train song. This is the coon train. Is coming. The coon train is coming. Train is
coming. What about black on black crime? Coon train is coming. Where the white women coon at? Train is coming. All white peoples ain't bad. We is our own worst enemy.
And that's the case. That's the thing, people. Whenever we start talking about white supremacy, whenever you start talking about challenging racism, There's always the black person who pops up. Well, what about black on black crime? We do it to ourselves. That's just a nigga cooning. Don't let them fool you. That's a nigga who's waving the surrender flag. Got that? Always understand that. That's a slick way of saying I'm scared. That's a deflection. Nothing more, nothing less. And it happens all the time. When you challenge white supremacy, there's always some coon who's trying to stand in front of the knife, the proverbial knife. Every time. If you say, hey, what's up, man? I don't like the way, you know, we're being treated. I don't like to be discriminated against. All of a sudden, hey, here it is. Here they come. Coon
trade is coming. What about black on black crime?
Leave them white folks alone. The coon train is never, ever, ever late, ladies and gentlemen. So my thing is, don't worry about the coon train. That's why I bring that up. Don't worry about the coon train. The coon train is never going to be late, and don't get distracted by the coon train. Because the coon train is there to deflect and distract. The coons know what they're doing. They're trying to assist white supremacy. They don't want white supremacy to get the brunt of the criticism. So they know if they deflect, they might get a crumb or a biscuit or a nigger trinket from white supremacy. So don't trip on the coon train. Don't trip on the coon train whatsoever. Always stay focused on challenging white supremacy if that's what you're going to do. But the thing is, man, I talked about this whole Zimmerman thing, and I talked about what should we do to challenge white supremacy. And I saw a lot of black people making excuses and black people talking about Zimmerman is Hispanic. Black people, because they're mirroring what white people are talking about. Because that's a deflection that white people use, that Zimmerman is Hispanic, he's not really white. That's the thing. Whenever you start talking about white supremacy, all of a sudden, nobody in the room is white no more. That's another con game, too. But when I see black people making these excuses, that's just the coon train rolling. And the thing is, man, we got to get in a position to collectively get a code. We got to get a code of conduct. We got to stop the $2 hoe mentality, because nobody's going to respect you acting like a $2 hoe. And we got to stop the scared Negro mentality. And black folks have to look in the mirror and say, hey, look, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of white supremacy. White supremacy scares me. I don't know what to do. That's why you should dialogue about it. What should we do about systematic white supremacy and replace it with justice? You got to dialogue about that. See, the thing is, when you start blaming yourself and pointing a finger at yourself, no, you're never going to come up with the answer, because there's too many black folks who don't think there's a problem, or you're making excuses for the problem. That's ho shit. That's like when you're trying to save a choosy Susie hoe and say, hey, stop hoeing. No, I deserve to be a hoe. I need to be a hoe. I was born a hoe. I've heard that in the game before. Born a hoe. But the thing is, man, black folks have to collectively get a code. See, black folks like to hide behind certain things. Is that, that's what Choosy Susie's like. They like to hide behind their pimps and blame everything on their pimps. Well, my pimp made me do it. That's why I'm doing it. She really wants to do it, but she's blaming it on the pimp. But the thing is, that's another reason why black folks like the concept of Jesus. Because you can create an image of somebody getting punished for you instead of you doing it. Just like when I was talking about this whole Zimmerman thing, a lot of black people were talking about, well, we just gotta pray, let the Lord handle it. Black folks get on that tip too. Let God handle it, let Jesus handle it. Black folks love the concept of hiding behind Jesus, hiding behind the concept of somebody getting beat up, stabbed, whipped, and crucified for you so you don't have to go through it. That's why black people love black leaders. Other groups don't even trip on leaders. They have institutionalized leadership. That's why you can't point to a particular person. That's why you can't assassinate a particular person. That's why everybody can kind of fall back and say, hey, what? Racism? I'm not racist. You see? No, we live in a system of white supremacy racism, but nobody's a racist. You can't find a racist nowhere. Because the racism is systematic. The white supremacy is systematic. And black people don't understand that. We have to get a systematic code that everybody is on, or enough of us are on. Because the thing is, we can't save everybody. Remember, man, white supremacy and that whole mentality, it goes hand in hand. Because the white supremacy creates that whole mentality. It created it on the plantation with black folks. You were beaten into submission. So the thing is, we got to understand that the code has to be in enough of us. Because some people are just cancerous. And some of that cancer, you just can't, you can't bring it back. You can't cure it. It's too malignant. It's gone. It's too far gone in certain people, certain black folks. So cancerous black folks, you got to charge to the game. Or find black folks where you can catch the cancer before it spread, where you can't recover them no more. And the thing is, a lot of black folks love talking about we need leadership. I hear that talk a lot, because I was reading some of the comments on my Facebook page about this whole Zimmerman post I put up. And a lot of black folks were saying stuff like, we need black leadership. We need leadership. This, we need, you don't need leadership. I talked about that in Hidden Colors. You don't need leadership. The last thing we do or need is leadership. So we can just let leaders get killed. Black folks like to hide behind the leaders. Because you don't want to take the jabs yourself. Bang, bang. Black folks love leaders. And a lot of black folks will take jabs at you and wait till you get something done. When you get something done, when you get some benefits, and when you kick down some doors, then they want to get on the bandwagon. But black folks will hide behind black leaders and even throw jabs at black leaders themselves. And then when those black leaders get something done, black folks are sitting around acting like they got it done too, or they were right there along with them. A lot of black folks, especially older black people, do that about the civil rights movement. You ever meet like older black people who were adults back in the 1960s? Why does every black person claim they were down with the civil rights movement when they weren't? And there's a lot of older black folks who listen and who's listening now. And some of my young black people, your parents, if your parents are out there talking about they were down with Martin Luther King and they marched in Selma with Dr. King and I was with Dr. King, your mom and dad are full of shit. Most of them niggas weren't doing nothing. Y'all have to understand, in the 1960s, there's a lot of black folks who were against Dr. King and Malcolm X and the Black Panthers. A lot of black churches didn't want Dr. King to come to their churches. I mean, let's tell all of it. If we're going to tell it, tell all of it. Now, there were certain sectors of black people who were putting in work, especially the real young teenagers. They were putting in a lot of work and kicking down a lot of doors. That's what's not talked about in history. We talk about that a little bit more in Hidden Colors 3, by the way. But understand, a lot of black folks back in the 60s, during the civil rights era, they thought that Dr. King and Malcolm X, they thought they were troublemakers, especially Malcolm X. They were, ooh, he's bringing that Muslim shit around here. But your dad and all your uncles and all them talking about they were down with the movement and down with Dr. King, them niggas are full of shit. I'm telling you, in 1960s, they asses were somewhere at a juke joint, eating a barbecue sandwich, wearing a conch in their hair, listening to some Motown, talking shit. This is them right here in a juke joint somewhere. Hey, I heard that Dr. King is coming up here with that bullshit. He don't need to come up here with that bullshit now. I just got this job at the plant. I don't need them bringing troubles up in here. They coming up in here with all that marching and civil rights shit, making these white peoples mad. I don't need that. I just got this job at the Ford plant. They gonna fuck up my pension. Johnny Lee, fix me some Thunderbirds real quickly, brother. Now, I'm telling you, I moved here from Memphis. They marching all down there in Memphis, making these white peoples mad. I done moved up here to Cleveland, got a job at the Ford plant. I'm trying to get my shit together so I ain't got to go down there to Vietnam. Benny Lee, fix me 2 barbecue sandwiches, take home to my old lady. But yeah, that old Dr. King shit, they need to go on somewhere with that, brother. Can you dig it? And that's how them niggas was talking. And now, after the movement, they send up now. Yeah, I was down with Dr. King, brother. Y'all youngsters don't know nothing. They full of shit, man. They weren't down with Dr. King. They were somewhere talking shit about him in a juke joint. Let's tell the truth and shame the devil. But again, black folks like to hide behind black leaders. And that's something that black folks are going to have to stop doing. You got to get institutionalized leadership. And stop being a choosy Susie Ho. And that's the thing. We always jumping and co-signing other people's shit. And just like a choosy Susie ho, when other groups come around us telling us stuff we want to hear, we fall for it. All they got to do is come around us giving compliments. Hey, black folks, how are you doing? You look good today, Jamal. Hi, Shaquisha. It's a nice weave you have. You guys want to come march in the gay parade with us? You know what I'm saying? They run that game on us, and we run and we jump and we co-sign everybody else's stuff, but nobody ever does it for us. None of these other organizations never speak up for our issues. None of these other organizations or groups co-sign us. None of these other so-called minorities that we always co-sign and back up, they never really speak up for us, to be honest. They come over and get all the benefits that we've kicked open the doors for. Most of those minority benefits, most set-asides for minorities, they go to Asians. About 80% of those set-asides for minorities as far as business, they go to Asians. Affirmative action, most of that go to white women and gay white men and handicapped people. So we got to stop being the $2 hoes for everybody else, being the choosy Susie for everybody else, and not doing stuff for our own and running away from ourselves. Because the thing is, black people are constantly surrendering. You're constantly bending down with your butt cheeks open, thinking that cracking open your butt cheeks by making excuses for everybody, that's going to stop them from kicking you and dicking you down. And that's not going to, it don't work like that. When you sit down with your butt cheeks spread harder, the more you submit, the harder they pump. They just keep pumping that ass as hard as they can. The more submissive you are, grunge fucking you. That's human psychology. The more docile you are, that brings out the courage in others. You think if you keep surrendering, the kicking is going to stop. The abuse is going to stop. That's how hoes think. The more submissive you act, the more the abuse is going to stop. It don't work like that. You start raising up, and the minute you start raising up, they already got you on that too, because then they start the extra nice religious talk with you. Black folks love that when other groups start talking that religious talk on my page. And y'all need to go to my page on Facebook where we talked about that whole Zimmerman autograph signing thing. The question I posed was for black people, but most of the people commenting were white. A lot of white people jumped on the page. I mean, by the thousands. And what's interesting, all of them came in with that holy pitch. Hey, we should stop talking about Zimmerman. We're all God's children. The Bible says love everybody. All white people are not bad. We're all God's children. Jesus loves all of us. They're saying a lot of those comments because they know that works on black people. Because if we're going to get deep, hell, they use Bible passages to justify white supremacy on every angle if we're going to go there. But that's a whole different show. But again, we got to stop going for the okey-doke when people start sweet-talking us and they have an ulterior motive. Look at the ulterior motive and don't sit up there getting your little feelings tickled because they're telling you some shit you want to hear. Black folks love a motherfucker up in their ear lying to them about bullshit. Black folks love that. Charge that to the game. And understand this and always ask this question, black people. What are you going to do to replace the system of white supremacy with justice? What should be done to replace the system of white supremacy with justice? That's not a bad question to ask, because we want justice. The problem is we never sit around and ask that question. Post that question on your Facebook page and watch some of the reactions you get from non-black people. Because when you start talking like that, that puts everybody on alert. Now, if you put up some shit where you just cursing people out, oh, fuck these white people, fuck these Mexicans, fuck. When you do that, people ain't even tripping. They just sit back and watch you go. That's not a threat. Because they know that's just emotional nigga talk and you ain't gonna really do nothing. But when you start talking logically, what should we do to empower ourselves and protect ourselves from violent white supremacy? When you start talking like that logically, watch what happens. Everybody comes out of the woodwork. When you stop acting like a $2 hoe, when you stop going around spreading your ass cheeks, people go on alert because now you're waking up. Understand that. Yo, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Show. Don't forget to go to TariqElite.com. Again, we're having the sale this Friday. The Mackish package. Follow me on Twitter @TariqNasheed. Follow me on Instagram @TariqElite. I will holla. Peace.